Hi, my name is Kathy Kattari. I am the Director of Community Research at the Western Michigan University School of Medicine in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I represent, as you can see, a large team effort here, and the purpose of our study was we really wanted to tease apart the relative impact and the relative association of poverty and of race, minority race, specifically black minority race, at both the individual and at the community level upon birth outcomes, specifically birth weight. I have no financial relationships to disclose. The impetus for our study was really driven by what many of you have already identified in speaking of this issue, and namely the very strong health inequities that are associated with race, maternal race, specifically black race, and that this you can see these both at the individual level and this operating also at the community level. Very much around racial segregation, which has been found to be very strongly associated with birth outcomes. The thing is that at both the individual and the community level, it's been very difficult to tease apart what's associated, you know, individually and independently with race versus what's associated with socioeconomic status and poverty, given the strong overlap that's very typical of minority race and socioeconomic status. What we wanted to do is to try to begin teasing this relationship apart. Our first question was looking at the relationship at the individual maternal level of race and socioeconomic status, and we were trying to understand whether those relationships upon birth weight were additive relationships, whether they interacted with each other to affect birth outcomes, or whether they mediated each other, if one of them mediated the other in their effect on birth outcome. And secondly, taking into account maternal individual impact on birth outcomes, whether the adding in the neighborhood level of race and poverty, neighborhood level measures, whether that had any additive risk, presented any additive risk or explanatory factors. Our methods were this was a secondary data analysis. We collected we created an integrated database that integrated information from the individual birth records on our county level using 2010 birth certificate data. And then we used the census tract level data from our neighborhoods in our community. We had two measures. We only looked at the two measures in our models, race and SES. At the individual level, that race was defined by the self-reported maternal race on the birth certificate information, and SES measure was the birth paid by Medicaid or not. So both of those measures were dichotomous measures. At the neighborhood level, we again used dichotomous measures of both race and SES, and we looked at and adopted the threshold of poverty levels of 20% or above for the yes or no neighborhood concentrations of poverty. And for consistency's sake, we also adopted that 20% threshold for the minority race for our neighborhood level measure of minority status. We joined these two levels, these two data sets, using ArcGIS. We first geocoded maternal address and then conducted a spatial join to link these two data sets. You'll see we generated maps that illustrated this relationship. I'll show you one of them, but we further explored them in other studies. Our analysis, you can see we worked very closely with our statisticians on our team. Our analysis was modeled using Bayesian regression. It was multi-level regression. Our outcome variable, as you'll see, was a two-part birth weight variable, which I'll explain to you in a minute. To show you how our study samples were created, in 2010 in Kalamazoo County, we had about 3,100 infants born. We excluded all multiples, concentrating just on singletons. Because we wanted to explicitly look at blacks and white as our racial disparity, because our racial disparities for blacks and whites in my community are very huge, and we also don't have a very diverse community outside of women being African American or black or white, so we excluded all non-black or white women from our sample. The neighborhood level, as I noted earlier, we had 57 census tracts. We integrated this data set, so in the end, we had 10 births, 10 moms where we didn't have, didn't have good address data. We weren't able to nest them into any of the census tracts, but our final data set consisted of 2,861 women births that were nested within each of the 57 census tracts. Our outcome variable, as explained, we divided it into a two-part variable. We wanted to take full advantage of the range in using the grams, but we also recognize that we have a skewed birth weight here, and so we created a two-part variable where the first part of our model looked at low birth weight or not, and then among those individuals who were above low birth weight, we looked at the grams. We looked at the actual grams. In our community, heard about the 34% in India. We only had 6.6% low birth weight, which seems small, but something that we're concerned about. Just to characterize the distribution of poverty and race at the individual level, our moms in our community were split between women who delivered under Medicaid and women who did not. They were split roughly half and half. Women in our community, we had about 20% of the women giving birth were of black race. Speaks to the strong overlap of these features in our community. Women who were black were 9 times more likely to also be poor than women who were white. You can see the very strong, those two coexist and co-occur. I want to show you first our individual level model and our regression outcomes. And again, we just regressed poverty and race. Regardless of for each of the two parts of our outcome, whether we were regressing it, looking at whether predicting women being low birth weight or not, or whether we predicted it on the looking at the actual grams, we had the same results, both of which were significant and showed that women who were poor were twice as likely to deliver a low birth weight baby as women who were not poor. Women who were black were 1.7 times as likely to deliver a low birth weight baby as women who were not. White. We see the same relationship displayed here when we look at the grams. So among women who were not low birth weight, women who were poor had effect size of 128 less. The birth weight was 120 less, 8 less grams. Among women who were black and did not have a low birth weight baby, the grams were associated, women who were black had 78 grams that were smaller, basically delivering smaller babies. Looking at the community level factors, we can see this is just mapping of our 57 census tracts, what the percent of low birth weight births are, and it ranges from 0 to 18% across our county. The smaller census tracts indicate more urban settings, whereas the larger census tracts are more rural settings. And we have two hot spots that are identified here that are pretty clear. One hot spot is in sort of the urban core of our community. It's also associated with the higher poverty rates and higher higher minorities, residents that have higher minority concentrations. Our second hot spot is actually located in communities that are more suburban communities. And these are not marked by either high poverty or high minority, so it's curious. It's not meeting some of our preconceptions about where we'd find it. To add on to our model, what we wanted to do is add on our community level model and look at the effects. So we were really curious whether does a black woman living in a high concentrated black neighborhood do better or worse than a white woman living in the same neighborhood? Does neighborhood have an effect? And is it the racial, and if it has an effect, is it the racial concentration of the neighborhood or is it the poverty concentration of the neighborhood that we find? And so these are the findings, and what we see here is even though the numbers, the betas, coefficients look very similar to the impact of the individual level factors, the range in the relationship of these of the race and the poverty ranges very strongly. There's not a consistent relationship at the community level between being a high race community or high black community or a high poverty concentrated community and its impact on low birth weight. So it actually did not neither one of these variables reached statistical significance. So in the end, in my community in Kalamazoo County, the neighborhood poverty level and neighborhood concentrations of race do not produce added risk to women's chances of delivering a low birth weight infant once you take into account a woman's own individual race and SES status. Study limitations include predictor measures, which are quite broad and stand for lots of in life conditions that include things like level of prenatal care, level of smoking. They're stand-in, they're proxy measures in many respects. Obviously, because we only looked at race and SES, we could easily be missing variables that confound and mediate these relationships of these variables on low birth weight and birth outcomes. The census tracts is often criticized for not representing meaningful divisions of neighborhoods, that the neighborhood boundaries are much more meaningful, but the census tracts are more easily available, and in our community anyways, they do broadly correspond to areas that the boundaries are off, they're just not that far off. In conclusion, our study found that race and socioeconomic status each independently added risk to poor birth outcomes, that it was the individual woman's race and SES that mattered, but in our community anyway, that the race and socioeconomic concentration of the community in which she lived did not produce added risk. And that poor birth outcomes do cluster by neighborhood, and that with the tightest, strongest cluster of low birth weight being in our urban core, and that is marked by poverty and high concentration of black women and black residents, and that our second cluster is not in such a community that is, so we need to look into that. We don't understand that. And so we're kind of conducting a series of follow-up studies to try to dig into what's going on in that second cluster. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you all so much.